Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David Thompson. I'm here in the studio with CK Thompson and also Mike Thompson. And I want to thank you guys for listening. And thanks for sharing, telling a friend, all that stuff. And it's been a little while since we've done a podcast.
That's true. We have
a lot to talk about. And so, CK, basically I'm just going to jump straight to you. I don't know where you want to start.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, hello, everybody. I've missed you. I missed telling you all about what I've been seeing and hearing in the spirit and just all of the silly things sometimes that just go through my head. What has happened since the last time we talked? Now, first of all, I want you to know we're going to let her rip, which is what I do. And that's the Lord's way of saying, speak. Arf. Okay. So bad.
Anyway. Don't really hold back.
Okay.
No holding back.
No holding back. Right. That's what I'm called to do.
So I didn't know if you... did you want to talk about your article on the Elijah list first?
Oh, yeah. Or? Hey, I was on the... published on the Elijah list an article of mine. Just March... I believe it was March 1st or 2nd. A week ago or so. Mm-hmm. And the name of it is, go look it up on ElijahList.com, The Third Heaven Church and the Divine Mark of Generosity and Prosperity. It's good. It's actually a good article.
Yeah. It's very good.
I was surprised when I read it.
Yeah.
This person knows something. No, it comes from dreams and visions that the Lord started. He initiated with me back in the year 2000. I've always been a dreamer and a visioner. I've visioned, yeah. I've had visions
right.
for years, all my life, really, and didn't know what was going on. But it really ramped up in the year 2000 when the Lord started giving me dreams and visions about, he started out with supernatural finances and the opulent, extravagant prosperity that was coming to the body of Christ that... I didn't even know how to describe it, put it into words when I woke up from that dream.
Yeah.
I wrote down what I could, but it was just beyond my own ability to put into words because it was like honestly, truly beyond you could ask or think, that kind of prosperity. But it was also that sense of who would believe me or who would actually believe that God would do that for his people. Because God has been so misrepresented for so long that people just think that, you know, poverty or lack is just synonymous with humility, when actually it's actually false humility.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But anyway, that's when it began.
Yeah, a lot of it was injected in by the Catholic Church.
Yes, a long way.
Poverty. And I mean, there's a lot
poverty-minded
of places where
the Puritans
comes from.
Did it, you know. Lots of groups that jump in there and say, it's like the devil sowed the biggest lie to the body of Christ when he tried to convince them that prosperity was somehow sinful, that having money was sinful.
And unfortunately, they just ate it up.
They did.
So that's the problem.
Yes. It's been a huge detriment to the kingdom of God, to the purposes of God, to destiny in people's personal lives, the lie that God doesn't want you to have anything. Or they'll go on, they'll come in a back door like this, say, well, God will supply your needs, because it does say that in the Word, and so they have to come to terms with that. But then they have stuff like, well, he's just an on-time God, or, you know, like he's just barely give you just barely enough, maybe. If you're lucky.
Right.
If you prayed enough. Or whatever it is.
Yep.
And so people had no confidence that God would really take care of them. They'd actually keep his word. They don't know his character. The fact that he is actually... One of his names is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Mm-hmm. He's more than enough.
Yeah.
He's also, I know I just took off with this, didn't I?
No, it's fine. This is what your article was about.
That, yeah.
And Steve Schultz, I mean, I know he mentioned that, well, basically that the subject matter, that was the way that he related to it, and it worked for him, and it really touched him, and so he published that article.
That's
right.
And
it's an older article, like you said, what, year 2000?
Well, I wrote this one, when did I write this one? A little after that, because...
Oh, it was after that.
Because
okay.
The year 2000 was when the series of dreams began.
Got it.
And, but yeah, it's been out for, I'm not sure, I think I might have written that specific one in 2012.
Oh, okay.
Because it's about the Third Heaven Church and the anointing for, what is it, the divine mark of generosity and prosperity. Because the Lord told me he was sending an anointing for supernatural finances.
Yeah.
And he also at the same time told me that he was sending supernatural youth, which meant time and money, that he was going to add those things, add days to our lives, add years to our lives, and add money so that he could keep every covenant promise that he's given to his people, especially starting with the boomers, that was such a waylaid generation. And so a lot of people have just given up hope on their own destiny because, you know, they feel like it's too late. They missed God. They got thrown off. They got robbed somewhere along the line. And so the Lord has been all in this series of dreams and visions. He's been talking to me about his concern of making sure that those who believe it and will lay hold of it, and now it's coming down to next generations, your generation, Brian, for instance, even younger ones, anyone that will lay hold of it,
yeah,
that supernatural finances, supernatural youth, which covers healing and everything, strength, length of days, we're talking supernatural length of days, we're talking 150 years or 175 or how about 200 or, you know, seriously, this generation so far is the, has lived the longest since, what? Oh, Mike, hi. we've lived the longest since when? Like the Middle Ages or?
Oh, yeah. In fact, a long ways before that, it started decreasing, about Abraham's time.
Yeah. Or was it Noah? No, Methuselah lived to be 900 and something.
Yes. And then it decreased down to Abraham, about 120, and then it...
Oh, yeah, he was 174, right. I believe, when he...
And it went down to the Dark Ages, it about in the 30 and 40-year-old is when people were dying.
They considered that old.
Mm-hmm. And then it started going back up.
Yeah. The reason people were dying, see now, okay, I'm doing one of those things, you know, those free, what do you call it?
Association.
Free association. Thank you. Because that, I really believe that the reason people were dying young during the Middle Ages, during the Dark Ages, they were dark because the Word of God had been shut up from the people. There was no light other than as translated through the church, the Roman Catholic Church at the time. They shut it up, and the only people that were allowed to read the Bible were either priests or monks, and the people only heard it through their version of it, and the people did not know the word.
It's true. It's a fact. If you just go back and look at history, that revelation of God's word is associated with the prosperity of a nation or a people and with the longevity of the people.
Yes. They live longer. The entrance of his word brings light. And, you know, that's why it was in contrast to the Dark Ages. Anyway, I went off on all of that because we were talking about my article on the Elijah list. So look it up, the Third Heaven Church and the Divine Mark of Generosity and Prosperity. I really like Steve Schultz. We've gotten to be fairly good friends in the last year or so, just by private message on Facebook, you know. And he's really awesome. I've watched some of his videos and stuff. It's what a powerful, humble man. I have the greatest respect for him, and I appreciate that he would consider putting my article on there. I didn't realize he was going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then one day I woke up and had an inbox full of emails of people thanking me for the article. Like, okay, what just happened? So, anyway, that's been going on mm-hmm. since the last time. Boy, I took a rabbit trail in that. Since our last podcast. Since the last time we talked, I had eye surgery.
Yes, that kind of knocked you out of commission for about a month.
Or two. I didn't realize how much my eyes were kind of fading on me there before the eye surgery. And the Lord just caused me to fall right into this. It was such a blessing. I was just looking for someone to prescribe new glasses, you know, new lenses for me. When we called around looking for someone who would take our insurance. And these people, this doctor, they gave me an appointment, and I went in and found out that they were eye surgeons. And they looked at me and said, basically, they couldn't do anything more prescription-wise because to make my eyesight better because I had cataracts. And I did not know that. See, I'm too young for this kind of thing. So they scheduled everything for January, and so I had all these appointments and everything to go to all through the month of December, and then surgeries in, they did both eyes in January, and boy, that was fun. I mean, I missed a lot. You don't realize how much you use your eyes, but it was prophetic. I really believe that. When I realized I was going to start the year 2017 with new vision, it was just amazing. I was so excited that, you know, once they took the shields off of my eyes and I could see. Except one thing disappointed me a lot is that because when I got home from the first surgery, they had the shield over my eye and I went and looked in the mirror and it was clear. See, I wanted to look more like a pirate.
Rather than a cyborg.
Yeah. I wanted to have, it was just this clear plastic shield. I was hoping for a nice black pirate eye patch, just for fun. I don't know why. So, who has more fun than people? Anyway, I was looking for that. And anyway, I missed a lot. I think I said all that to say I missed a lot. God was blessing me and restoring my sight. But and so now all I have to do is where is reading glasses?
Yeah.
Praise God. But
right.
It's nice to see. I didn't know mm-hmm. what I was missing.
Yeah.
Like, man, I have not been able to see in the shower like that clearly. Since I was 9. Man, that first shower after that, I'm looking around going, good heavens, when did this happen?
Wow, so big change.
Oh, man. I could see how dirty the tub was. Like, hey. See, normally I couldn't tell it was dirty until things started turning, you know, like kind of reddish or something.
Oh, okay.
I could see the color, but I couldn't see the dirt.
Okay.
Now I can see everything. So... So someone's fired, whoever that is. Oh, mm-hmm. That would be me. Okay.
Okay. So there was the... okay.
The eye
so
surgery.
The eye surgery.
And so then I'm trying to catch up with all the correspondence. Because people didn't know mm-hmm. why I suddenly dropped off the planet there. Like Facebook mm-hmm. or whatever.
Right.
And I just didn't see it. I couldn't see it. But right. Now I can, so I'm catching
yeah.
up.
Yeah, I mean, you had to recover for a while, so, I mean, that's yeah. really natural in that situation, so.
Plus, that really weird, loopy reaction I had to the anesthesia, which I didn't expect. The first time didn't seem to happen, but maybe, I don't know if it was because they were too close together. No, they weren't too close together.
You just had a reaction to the anesthesia.
The doctor said that's pretty common.
Yeah, it's not uncommon at all. So,
but it made me pretty loopy dizzy and loopy for several weeks. In fact, I'm still getting over, if you can't tell,
the loopy part. Yeah, it's part of the recovery.
Yeah, so I'm just enjoying being loopy. Might as well go with it. This is going to be a loopy little podcast. Yeah, speaking of loopy, the other night I was so tired because I've been trying, all of a sudden, like, all right, I'm alive, trying to catch up on everything. And I went to bed and I had my phone that I was setting my alarm for the next day. And I literally, and I was wearing my reading glasses, I fell asleep right on my face. I didn't even know I did it. I just fell right on my phone. asleep. Right? And see, you can see it right here and here. It left a red mark. It's
she's
still there.
She's outlining around her eyes. For all of you that can't see on the podcast.
So that was fun. What's really been happening that's really awesome is the stuff going on in the spirit. But you know what? Everything is prophetic somehow. It really is. There's so much happening in the heavenlies. And, Lord, which direction do I go here? The Lord has been talking to Mike about the massive transfer. And, would you talk about that a little bit? I want to ask you a couple questions about that. Well, I've got you here,
of
Mike.
Of course, I would be glad to.
Yeah, help. You know, like, give me a shovel. Get me out of this.
Hey, you know, another thing that's happened
since
then is Donald Trump's inauguration as president.
That's right.
That was a biggie.
That was huge.
Oh, yes.
It was the beginning of a prophetic era.
Very much so.
Yes.
I mean, the shaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's shaking everything up.
Yeah, he is. He's got some wisdom there that people don't realize.
That's right. So we're entering a new era. It is a prophetic era. It's an era where, like you were talking about, that mass transfer, that mass transfer of power and wealth. The entire power structure is now shifting. The entire wealth and economic structure is shifting.
And influence, the power of influence.
Definitely.
Big time.
Yeah, you know, in the scripture, there's a lot of support for what sometimes people call end-time transfer of wealth, such as in Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because I've read that scripture for, you know, decades, and just how does that happen, Lord? I prayed many times, and I could see applications of it. Like, oh, you get a wealthy person saved, and they bring their money into the kingdom and into the church and stuff. But, oh, I just see it happening right now where the enemy has been gathering that power, influence, and wealth onto his side and for his purposes around the world, but specifically here in America. And all that has been gathered on that side suddenly now is being transferred back. It's being transferred into the church. It's being transferred into America for the citizens, the people of America.
Yes.
It's just, you're talking about billions of dollars.
Yes. Yes, in fact, you were talking about the clash of the billionaires.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what this was going on in the heavenlies. Over America.
You bet.
It has to do with money, because money, whoever controls the money controls what? They have the power over nations.
And that's one of the reasons I firmly believe that God chose Donald Trump to be an instrument at this time. The man's not perfect. That's not the point. The point is he was a chosen vessel, because it took a billionaire, Donald Trump, to take on the billionaire George Soros and his friends.
That's true.
Because they're on the other side.
Oh, big time.
Talking about that antichrist secularist spirit.
Yes, that atheistic, humanistic, where they believe they are their own God.
Yeah.
And that they, George Soros has been known to actually manipulate currencies of entire countries and, you know, plunge them into recession and, you know, destroy whole countries. I'm not quite sure what his point is, other than he has an agenda.
Well, to begin with, money, greed. Mm-hmm. He wants more. But behind that is power. Power to control.
Would you share what the Lord showed you about the dragon and then recently about Leviathan? Because there's some stuff that we haven't really talked about a lot. And I know we're trying to pack a lot in here. I'm sure we're going to have to do more than one podcast, maybe even today. But
yes,
I want to hear about this Leviathan thing, the dragon that the Lord showed you.
Well, I think for the last several years and up to the election, the presidential election in November, the Lord had really dealt with me, you and I, Bo C.K., about the political spirits of Jezebel and Pharisee.
Right.
Jezebel on the far left, Pharisee on the far right.
And just to make sure people know that we're not talking about the personal spirits of like Jezebel that you might see operating in a human individual. No, these are actual political spirits in the heavenlies, in the atmosphere over a country. Ours.
That's it. Right. The big boss.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at Jezebel and Pharisee in the Bible, they were rulers. They were ruling spirits.
Right. They were ruling spirits. And that's also like the princes of the power of the air kind of a thing.
Right.
It's in the spiritual atmosphere. Go ahead.
That's it.
Go for it.
And so when Donald Trump was elected during the election, the power of the political spirit of Jezebel and Pharisee was broken. But, you know, you can't kill a spirit, so it's not like they just disappear. But the power and influence of it was broken. And so then the Lord began dealing with me. And specifically, remember, was it December 18th? Anybody that wants to look it up on...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, on YouTube. In that service, I had an open vision. And the Lord was talking about now, behind the spirit that was behind them and ruled over them was that dragon.
You saw the dragon.
Beast and the dragon.
In our Christmas service.
That's right.
All right, in the middle of our Christmas service, you started talking about the dragon.
Yes. And so that was the power and the money structure.
Yes.
That Jezebel used.
So I heard you talking about a vision that you had of you saw something peeking up out of the water and then coming up onto the East Coast. Or what was that about? Mm-hmm.
That was a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord gave me a vision
different?
While I was in prayer.
Is that a different thing than the dragon?
No, it's the same thing.
Okay.
It is. It's the dragon.
Oh, okay, tell us.
And by the way, in that prior one in December, the Lord said that he was taking care of and breaking the power of the dragon.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
And it's interesting, in Revelation 12 and 13, the dragon gave power to the beast.
Ooh.
And so what I'm saying is the dragon is the biggie. Well, what the Lord showed me in a vision is he took me up into the second heaven, actually, and I was looking down, and I saw this vision. And in the vision, there was this, like a dragon, a beast, that was over in the area of Europe, maybe the Middle East, but it seemed like it was coming from Europe. And it dove into the water and swam under the water to the east coast of the United States, specifically the northeast coast, and then came up into America. I knew when I saw it that the Lord was showing me that this was not just a current. It had done it for years, and it was something that the power of the dragon had been influenced in America for a long time.
Where did it come up in America?
On the northeast coast, the Atlantic coast.
Like right around Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Or in that general vicinity?
That whole vicinity, okay. Yes.
Wow.
And the Lord spoke to me. When I saw him come up in America, he spoke to me, Isaiah 27:1. It says, in that day the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea.
Whoa.
So Leviathan represents, and in that specific scripture and others throughout the Bible, Leviathan is used again in connection with nations, governments, and kings. So, it's a ruling spirit. It's a big spirit. The influence.
Well, yeah.
So, the dragon, and Leviathan means serpent, dragon, crocodile, snake. It's a scaled reptilian creature that's considered to be on land and sea. It's a marine spirit. It's a land spirit.
Mm.
It governs. It tries to swallow up and control. When he said that twisted serpent,
yeah,
he was talking about the ability, kind of like a crocodile takes a big bite, latches a hold of, and then does that alligator or crocodile death roll.
Oh, wow.
And so in the Bible, it's always talking about those that are opposed to the government of God, opposed to the people of God,
okay.
Opposed to God's rule and influence in nations.
Wow. So the Lord showed you Leviathan, which is the same as the dragon. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm trying to follow.
It is.
And the thing about when Michael, the archangel, took you up into the second heaven back in 2013, or was it 2014? Anyway, one of those times when he told you that, and he showed you the fog. First, he showed you revival hanging in the atmosphere over America. And then he showed you the fog so that people couldn't see the glory that was up above the fog. And the fog was, okay, I've even got some of that written down. I've got written down, this isn't in an article we just put out, but get ready for the massive transfer. As they pursued their agenda for decades, and it seemed to be taking over. I'm talking about those, the agenda of Mr. Soros and people like that, the billionaires, with influence on the far left. And we wrote in here that he's basic, that spirit of Antichrist, the spiritual dragon that you saw associated with Mr. Soros, was basically the fog machine that was operating through him and people like him. They use their wealth to finance their agenda, and under cover of the fog, they've attempted to take apart and redefine America as a socialist, secularist, atheistic country.
Yes.
That's their agenda. And you know what? We almost lost America. People don't realize how close we came to losing America.
No, they don't.
And that the fight's not over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty serious.
If Donald Trump hadn't have won this election, I'm thoroughly convinced that it would have set us back decades. It would have taken the church 30 years to recoup.
Right. In fact, I remember prophesying that a while back about before the election, that when the Republicans were throwing the election, they were specifically not supporting Donald Trump because they were trying to throw the election, thinking that they were going to get their man in 4 years. And the Lord had told me, America won't be the same in 4 years. And so they needed to get up off, and my famous words, get up off their Pharisaic hypocritical butts and vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
The people did. Pharisee went underground then after Donald Trump won. That's just an aside.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about the fog, the dragon is associated with the fog. In fact, that's the fog machine.
Yes.
And that it took, what was it, how you put that about the fog and the fog machine?
Well, what the Lord spoke to me, and then I'll help define it just a little bit so the people can understand.
All right.
He spoke to me and he said that it takes a move of the Holy Spirit to blow away the fog. Mm-hmm. But it takes third heaven authority of the believer to destroy the fog machine.
Okay.
So the fog is kind of like what the Apostle Paul referred to as this present evil age in Scripture, talking mm-hmm. about the entire mass, the thought, the thinking, the social structure, the political structure of man without enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. And so it was a fog that was lulling people into false religious beliefs, mm-hmm. to humanism, secularism, atheism, all of those things that you just see that on the far left has just been coming into America. So the dragon is the head spirit that was influencing from particularly Europe and from those other nations, continents coming into America. And George, it represents the kind of thinking and the social structure that George Soros and his friends are trying to do. They're out to conquer the world.
Yeah.
They want to rule the world. He wants to own the world.
That's why they want the globalization.
Exactly.
The one world government kind of thing, because, yeah, that's more like Hitler than any, I mean, the same agenda. Just played yes. out differently.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the audacity to try to call Trump a Nazi. No.
Yeah.
Now he's, you know what? Even when it talks about the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, the Lord told me this. Donald Trump is not a sinner. He's not a sinner.
No, he's not.
Just because he's a billionaire does not mean he's a sinner. In fact, most people don't even realize. I don't think the media even told anyone. Donald Trump is not taking a salary. He turned it down for being the president. He's like one of the few in history that's actually turned down the money. And they don't even care. I mean, they still want to just rip him apart. But he's not a sinner. He has No. accepted the Lord. Mm-hmm. Therefore, God sees him as righteous, whether he's perfect or not, whether his language is correct or not, whatever, is moot. He's not a sinner. So
that's right.
People mm-hmm. need to get that through their head. God put a righteous billionaire mm-hmm. in the office, in the White House. Okay.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And righteous by the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
You know, all believers sin in some form in the flesh, and mm-hmm. you know, whether it be a little bit or a lot of it or whatever, right. that doesn't make them a sinner.
Right.
A sinner is an unbeliever, somebody who isn't covered by the
Someone
blood of the Lord Jesus
has
Christ.
Not accepted Jesus as their Savior, and he has. And so anyway, that was sort of an aside. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to get you off track.
And he's already on track, yes. CK, to doing more for the body of Christ in yes. America than any president for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, he's changing the course of all things. That's the change of power structure, the yeah. change of wealth mm-hmm. that is allowing that entire shift, the massive transfer of wealth into the church. It's and exciting.
It is exciting. And people need to feed on that. They need to contemplate. They need to meditate on the fact that God is preparing to put wealth into their hands. Otherwise, if they're not prepared, they're going to be just poor people with money. And it means it'll be gone soon. We've known people in the past. It's really heartbreaking to see someone, a poor person with money, because they've never been taught. And you got all these people, believers that don't, or Christians that don't think they're supposed to have money. So therefore, they've never learned or been taught how to handle large amounts of money. And see, we have an anointing on our ministry for supernatural finances. We always have. We didn't even realize that. And then the Lord talked to me about it in the year 2000, and I started to catch on, like, oh, because we've known so many people that we all went into the ministry together, and the Lord would not let you work a secular job. And you, there was a time or two that you, you know, tried to do a part-time job for a while, and he just, if it lasted a year, we were lucky, because, I mean, you just, you didn't work for the world. The Lord called you to work full-time for him, because you got a job, you have an assignment, and he gave us supernatural finances, and we just believed the money in. See, we don't have a ministry of begging. We told the Lord that right off the bat. We refuse to be a ministry of begging. We're not called to raise funds. We're not a fundraising ministry. We preach the gospel. That's what we're called to do. And so we told the Lord back then, okay, when he called us into the ministry, then if you're going to be our boss, we expect you to keep your word and take care of us, so that we can do what you've called us to do. And he has. I mean, there have been some tough times when men have sinned against us or whatever, or, you know, people just didn't listen to God. But he, if God can't get someone to obey him, he will do whatever he has to do to keep his word, because he cannot lie. And so I didn't mean to just go off on another thing, but people need to hear this and know that when the Lord says in his word that he will supply all of your need according to what? His riches in glory, yes, by Christ Jesus. He means it. He will do whatever he has to do to keep his word to you. And I've heard people say, well, the reason, you know, that the money hasn't come is because God, you know, couldn't get the people to give, or, he, you know, he spoke to someone to give and they wouldn't do it, so he had to speak to someone else. And, you know, okay, I know he does deal with people's hearts. I mean, that's his will, is that people would obey him. We're all supposed to be generous and prosperous. But there are a lot of people that are just disobedient to God when it comes to money. He does not allow other people's disobedience to him to cause him to be a liar to us.
Well said.
That he will move heaven and earth. He will do whatever he has to do to keep his word to us, to those who believe that he will supply all of our need according to his riches and glory, not according to the bank, not according to whether the people will listen, not according to whether so-and-so is mad at you, not according to whether a group of people didn't like how you, what you preached Sunday, and so they left and took all their money with you, with them to, you know, to punish you. You know,
sounds like the voice of experience.
Yeah. I knew a group of people, they waited for your birthday, and then they all bailed on you and took their money somewhere else. They did it on purpose. Some Christian people are really mean. Religious and mean.
Religious people are mean.
They are. All we did was obey God. All we did was just say yes to the Lord, and apparently we said no to something they wanted. So that one woman specifically told you, she bragged about how she destroyed other pastors in town by getting bunches of people to leave the church and take their tithes with them. And we knew at the time that it was a threat, that if you didn't do what she wanted, she would do that to us. Mm-hmm. And she tried.
Mm-hmm. But God's always faithful, isn't he?
Yeah. It was painful that they did that, but
yes,
it did not affect our ability to function and obey God, other than, you know, it hurt. The fact that someone would want to destroy us.
Yes.
Why would people be so freaking controlling and mean?
I have no idea.
Disobedient to God?
Doesn't make sense to me.
Boss the preacher around and tell him what he should and shouldn't do? The church system itself is just so out of order. It's the system.
Yeah, it
is. You got
is.
Hirelings out there that some of them aren't even saved, pastoring churches. God help them. Okay, I just went off on another thing. This is what I mean by loopy. I may have been a little bit loopy before, guys, so my apologies now, because that anesthesia made me just a smidge loopier. But
at least we're on the same subject.
Yes, we're on the same subject. Because God wants his people to prosper. He also wants us to walk in love.
That's right.
And so if you're walking in love, you're not going to try to punish and destroy someone else by hoping to ruin them by taking by not giving, by encouraging other people not to, or by encouraging bunches of people to leave, and by spreading lies about any minister. That's not love.
No.
In fact, Jesus even showed up and talked to me in a dream about that. He visited me one night, and he wept about how his people treated his ministers. They think God doesn't see it. When Jesus himself gave the fivefold ministry to help in the oversight of the body of Christ, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Anyway, I digress. But we were talking about the battle of the billionaires.
Yes.
And off I went. People that are poor people with money don't know how to handle money. They're not prepared. So when if the Lord, we've seen, that's where I, you thought I forgot. I've seen it where, like, someone had an inheritance, and all of a sudden, they had like $100,000. They went from nothing to $100,000, and they did not know what to do with it. And they just blew through that money in about a year. And it was heartbreaking. They didn't consult an attorney. They didn't, they could have left the money, they could have put it in a CD at least, and just lived off the interest until they knew what they wanted to do. But instead, they just had one big party for about a year. And I'm talking about believers don't know what to do with money. Mm-hmm. And so they are actually poor stewards of the things of God. God intends for us to prosper. And so in order to prosper, we have to be prepared to handle money the way God intends for us to handle it. As generous and prosperous people, you know, he told me, I woke up one morning and I heard the Holy Spirit say, the children of this generation are, the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. In other words, people who are, don't even claim to be Christians know how to handle their money better than most Christians, than many Christians. Because there's no injunction against it. You know, not being told they shouldn't have money and all that. So they learn how to use it.
Yeah, there's not a religious twist on how that you use the assets that you have.
Right. Like, well, you shouldn't have that, or are you humble enough, or whatever. No, you're supposed to, authority and money go hand in hand. Prosperity, I should say. Prosperity and authority. So if a person doesn't understand authority, then they're not going to do well with money. Mm-hmm. And it just gets all, it's all intertwined because of our assignment to teach third heaven authority. You can't have authority without it attracting finances. You can't have prosperity without it attracting authority. Or you'll lose it.
Correct.
Because authority, and that's what people get offended. That's probably the number one reason people have been offended at us, is because we believe in authority. The authority of the believer, the authority in the name of Jesus, and that we are to walk in that authority,
mm-hmm.
and do what he told us to do, and not just sit around, you know, humbly waiting for God to make something happen. We believe him, and just we do it because that's what he said. He said, go do that. So we go do that. We serve God, not money. We don't serve mammon. People who think they're being humble are actually serving money. Or lack of.
Mm-hmm. Like, but God, it's still money.
It's still money. Like, well, I know God told me to go preach the gospel, you know, just for the sake of illustration. Africa. He told me to go to Africa and preach. So I'm still sitting here waiting for the money. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That means you're serving money, not God. you're serving lack of money and not God.
Right.
Because that's what separates the men from the boys, so to speak, in the ministry. If the Lord tells you to do something, you don't sit and wait for the money before you do it. You simply do what he tells you to do, and money will follow you. That's another
That's right.
thing from one of the dreams. He told me that money has been given an assignment to follow his children as they obey him. And so as you obey God, money wakes up and follows you. But if you're not obeying God, it's just sitting there. It's waiting for you to obey him. Its assignment is to help you do it. Because he's not unrighteous.
Right.
He's not going to say, go to Africa and preach, and then, but sorry about the money thing. You'll have to figure that out. He doesn't do that.
No, not at all.
Or even to bring it down to more of a level, you know, he doesn't tell you to, for instance, tithe, which he does tell people, that's in the Word. It's a New Testament word, not just an Old Testament word.
Yes.
You're circumcising your money and bringing it out of the world system into God's kingdom, and there's so much more to it. But anyway, he didn't say tithe and good luck with how it goes. I mean, he expects his people to obey him.
Right.
And then money follows.
Yeah. Well, faith is an action. It initiates. It's an action. Instead of just sitting on your blessed assurance and waiting for God to do something, you have to get up. You have to be moving in that direction in order for it to come.
Right. And you can't just make something up. Say, well, I feel like I should do this. This is a good thing I should do for God.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's lots of people out there, CK, right now that may be listening and going, wow. I hear what you're saying, but I've got things that I need. I've been praying about. I don't have the money. How can I do them if I don't have the money? And so we're not condemning them. We're not telling them that, you know, they're in sin or that. You know, they've
absolutely
got
not.
Really have struggles concerning money. But what they need to hear is that authority and faith and grace. It all works. Authority attracts finances. Faith is an action.
Right.
Start rolling. Start your prayers. Get your mouth in confession for it. Go for it, and God will add.
Exactly. The biggie is that if they don't know the Word, if they don't know what God's will is about finances, people are perishing for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of the Word.
Yes.
If you don't know that it's God's will, you'll spend your life feeling that frustration of knowing that you're called to do something and then you never have the money to do it. And how do I get the money to do it? But the Word of God says that, you know, Jesus died on the cross for us to save us from our sins. He took the punishment for our sins. He died to restore everything, including finances. Our prosperity was covered under the blood of Jesus. Jesus died so that it says in the Word that he made himself poor so that we through his poverty might become rich, just like he was made sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God. It's in the Word that it is God's will always that his people prosper. And as long as people aren't sure about that, they can't have the faith they need in order to use their God-given authority to call in their money and walk in it.
Yes.
They're praying and asking God for something that he has already given them. He's given you a blank check. He's saying, like, I've told you to do this, write the check. You know?
Uh-huh.
I hope this is helping someone not just bringing more condemnation. Because when God created this planet, he put everything in it for us. He didn't create it for someone else. He created it for his beloved family, us human beings, mankind. Man was created male and female. Man is the species, not the gender. And he put the wealth into this planet, And this planet was spitting money out. I mean, it was spitting gold out at Adam and Eve. Everything they needed was right there at their disposal. That is total prosperity. And he gave them authority and dominion over the whole thing, told them to be fruitful and multiply. It's all about prosperity and authority right there.
Yes.
And they're the ones that sinned and blew it. And somewhere along the line, that lie came in that God's people aren't supposed to have the resources in this planet. We're not supposed to have money. We're not supposed to have the gold, the silver, all these things, which is the dumbest thing because it's here because of us.
Right.
It's supposed to be ours.
Yeah. Yes.
It really is.
And then along comes the dragon and Jezebel.
Exactly.
And just sucks up the resources.
Exactly.
Oh, they don't mind taking it.
They'll take it. Yeah, ooh. The Christians won't. They'll take it. We practically handed it to them.
Yeah.
Might say, oh, no, not me. I'll take a vow of poverty. That's mm-hmm. the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. And then along came God and just absolutely shook up the entire system.
Yes.
Oh.
So I didn't mean to take us on a wild goose chase about money, but people need to understand that. And that's why the clash of the billionaires, because God is giving a revelation to his people. It's coming now.
It is.
That supernatural finances, supernatural youth and time. He's redeeming your time and he's redeeming your money. And you have to, first of all, believe it, no matter what your circumstances look like, that the Word of God is more true than anything you see with your physical eyes. You got to see what God says.
Yes.
Say what God says. Don't empower the enemy by speaking your doubt and unbelief. Don't speak your fear. Speak what God says. Say what he says. Act like him. Talk like him. These guys are not afraid. I know, getting back to the country. And that's why it's been such a fight. In the atmosphere, over the heavens, in the mm-hmm. heavenlies, over our country.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got so many believers who don't... I mean, there are so many that were offended at Donald Trump, Christians. Because he had money. Just plain flat out because he was rich. In their minds, that disqualified him. When... Show me any of the last however many presidents we've had that weren't rich, you know. But this is a different kind of rich. Donald Trump was a billionaire. It's a different kind of rich, and it comes with authority and a different spirit.
Yes.
He's an honest man
mm-hmm.
with money, and it doesn't fit their mold, their religious mold, their picture of anyone who has that much money must be a greedy miser that worships money. And that's not the case. He's anointed.
And, very much. Well, he is. He knows how to make money.
Yeah. And we would do well mm-hmm. to learn.
And he, even in the natural, he was able to understand what was going on behind the scenes and how that the money was being robbed, was being sucked out of America.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole globalization,
yes,
and so forth, and so he knew how to get it back. That's why
right.
he ran for president.
Exactly, and he knows what he's doing now. A lot of people are like, "Oh, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that?" Mexico isn't going to pay for the wall. You can't make Mexico pay for the wall. Well, you just watch and see. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's not going to hand them an invoice.
No,
they'll pay. Oh yeah, they will pay. But not by...
mm-hmm. That's all he's
maybe,
ever said.
Not voluntarily, maybe, but they will pay.
Right. Yeah. And this is not an endorsement of Donald Trump as a person, but it's an endorsement of Donald Trump as a vessel.
As a vessel.
A tool that God is using.
Yes.
In order to bring about, facilitate these things. The mass transfer of wealth is being sucked out of the beast, you know, the dragon,
uh-huh.
and Jezebel, and is being shifted right back into the hands of the church and into God's plans and purposes for America. And one of those major purposes is revival.
It's revival.
Revival!
It's all about revival. And yep. That's perfect, because it's not about politics, you guys. It's about souls. It's about revival. It's about God keeping his promises to our forefathers. It's about the destiny of America as well as the destiny of God's people. It's about God's plans for planet Earth before everything. You know, I mean, the biggest revival that has ever hit this planet, it's touching down.
It's
touching
here.
Down. Yeah, it is here. And let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear.
That's it.
And I want to thank you for listening today. And I want to thank the Streams of Many Waters Podcasting Network. And we love you guys. I really love every person that's out there listening right now. I want you to know how much God cares about you personally, you and your destiny, and that he is willing to go to bat for you. And these things that are happening on planet Earth right now is for you. He wants you to have the joy of walking in your destiny. He wants things set in order at this time, so that he can bring to pass those things that will bring great joy to you and to your life and your family. And there are people out there that don't know him yet, and he's been so misrepresented. He wants to introduce himself to the world and reintroduce himself to the church. And just hang on to your hats, man. Hang on, because God's getting ready to do major, powerful, major changes in your life, and we need to be ready for the ride, because he's going to take us into his plans and purposes. And I guarantee you, it does not look like what we've thought it was going to look like. We just had no frame of reference to wrap our brains around it. God wants you to prosper. Yes, you, whoever you are. There's someone there sitting there listening to me thinking, this lady's crazy and she's all over the map. And, but you know in your heart of hearts that you wish that what I was saying was true. You wish that it was God's will for you to prosper. You just think you're not supposed to pray about that. And I want to break that crap off of you in the name of Jesus. The Lord wants to break that crap off of you in Jesus' name. Right now, I just speak those words. I command that generational spirit of poverty to be broken off of you. I command every spirit of poverty and lack and disobedience and stupidity. How about that? Financial stupidity. A lot of the generational financial stupidity. I just break that off of people's lives and their hearts and their minds right now in Jesus' name. Because God wants you to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And he's sending us out as... What is it? Sheep among wolves. And he didn't send us out there unarmed. That money is a defense, is what the word says. God wants to defend you all over the place with his glory. Now, the glory of God is your rear guard. And in the word of God, the glory of God is associated with gold and silver. It manifests in the natural as supernatural finances. So watch for the anointing for supernatural finances in your life, and ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Ask him to show you. It's in the word. It's in his heart about you. So God bless you, and I'll talk to you next time.
Okay, well said. Well said. Okay, I want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.